Welcome to today's edition of Feet to the Fire, where we're always challenging the status quo. For more cutting-edge commentary, go to feettothefire.org. That is feet, the number two, thefire.org. And now your host.
Hello. Yep, we're on. Okay. I'll put this in the middle so people can talk to it. If you're over there, Dan, you have to yell. All right. Cool. So you guys got Proverbs 31 open. We talked about months ago, we started the dating and courtship, which is a hot topic for young singles. So we started with that, and I thought it would be an easy transition to go right into marriage and the Christian family. So a month ago, we did the biblical manhood, which actually I got a lot of positive feedback from. So that was cool. And now we're doing biblical womanhood in the context of what makes a successful Christian marriage. And this stuff relates to you even if you don't get married, because it's really ultimately what it means to be a man and a woman of God. This is not intended to cast judgment on our moms or the women in our lives where they may fall short, and I said this about the men too, but rather to see what is the calling for women presently and biblically. Encourage and appreciate your mom, even in her weakness, and your sisters in Christ, wherever they may be at on this stuff. Don't judge and be quick to, you know, point at moms or other ladies that aren't measuring up to what we might look at. However, don't be held back if you see things that need to be done better or be done right. Make those changes in your life. So the reason I say it is because when you talk about biblical marriage and husbands and wives, you inevitably think of your own what? Mom and dad. So you don't want to just be like, wow, my mom, that's nothing of what my mom was. Or, because I don't know all your parents. But you also don't want to think, well, my mom went this far, so I'm just going to, you know, go to that glass ceiling and go no further. If you see where the Lord is calling you as women and guys in your knowledge of this stuff, to go even further, to surpass the example you've seen in your life, don't quench the spirit. Does that make sense? I hope my children surpass me. I pray for that, that they surpass me in the faith and they don't carry the burdens of my sins, and I hope that they preach behind fiery pulpits. That's just my ambition for them. I don't know if they're gonna. And Reagan, marry a preacher, a fiery preacher. Anyway, let's jump right in. The thesis, what is the woman? Because we talked about the man. Anybody remember what we said the man was? Began with a P, and actually Jeff was the one who said the word. This Jeff. Mm-hmm. Sitting like right in that seat. The provider, the protector. Provider is a good way to look at it. The woman is the nurturer. Man and woman are co-equal. They are categorically different in function. Totally different function, but totally equal in value. Okay. By the way, if you need a Bible, grab one so you can read along. I got plenty of Bibles. There's four over there. And also, if you want paper, I forgot to tell you, I ripped it up. You don't have to feel obligated. And there's also a ton of pens. So feel free to grab anything if you need to in the middle of the study or something strikes you. Yeah.
Real quick, not to go back 2 minutes, but one thing you said that actually really struck me is you hear very often about, like, well, your parents fell short here, so rise above. One thing you don't hear very often is your parents did a great job, but that doesn't mean you need to still stay where they left off.
Exactly.
Because I think that's what causes a lot of believers to grow stagnant, because they feel like, my parents were great. Great, so what are you going to do?
Right.
You can't rely on your parents' coattails, so to speak.
Exactly.
And I think that that's a topic you don't hear very often, because it's usually, in our culture especially, well, my parents fell short here, so I'm just going to try to not do what they did. Whereas it should also be, hey, your parents did a great job. For some people, go even further. Be even better than they were.
Yeah, surpass it. Because your parents, as much as many of them are believers and saints in the Lord and have fought the fight well, they're still sinners. So there's still areas to grow. Absolutely. Yeah. You shouldn't let it be a glass ceiling. Anybody else want paper while I have it up? Okay, no problem. Just if you need to grab it. I got 3 points, which is a little more organized than I usually am for our study. 4, 5, 6 points. I don't know how many we're going to take. 3 main ones, and then we'll carry on at the end. I'm trying to get to child rearing. I don't know if we're going to get to that for men and women. Like, parents. Being a parent as a kind of summation of the whole month, because I don't think that'll carry well into September. But we'll see what happens. Anyway, on the women, we've got 3 points. And just if you want to outline it or get your mind in order, the first is function, the second is character, and the third is motherhood. Function, character, and motherhood. They'll all probably bleed into each other. And if I repeat myself, I'm slightly sorry, because repetition is the key to learning. So if we say the same concepts over and over again, it'll at least dig it into our minds. So let's read Proverbs 31. I'm just going to read it first, and I'm going to bite my tongue, because I love to make comments while I'm reading scripture, because it like teaches instantly. People who have, like, know me from youth group and stuff, but I'm not going to do that, because then we'll never finish reading the chapter. So let's read it, and then we'll talk. So first point here, function. And if you want to write what is the function of a woman, biblical womanhood, as I said, the thesis, it's nurturing others. Nurturing. The man is the provider, the protector. That's why he's preaching at the pulpit. And the woman is nurturing with the community of believers, in and amongst the community of believers, which a man doesn't do the way a woman does. Both are extremely vital. So the function of the woman is nurturing. Let's read this beginning in verse 10. Verse 10. This is, by the way, written. This is a mother teaching her son. If you look at verse 31, the sayings of King Lemuel, if I'm saying that right, an oracle is who taught him? What does it say in verse 1? His mother taught him, right? So that's cool. From a mother about a woman. Verse 10, a wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She gets up while it is still dark. Did I read that already? Mm-hmm. I read that. That's a third time. She gets up while it is still dark. Look at that. I don't even need to comment. She provides for her family and portions for her servant girls, and she practices that habit in college by sleeping till 2 o'clock. Nope, doesn't say that. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. This girl's awesome. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. That verse sends the feminist reeling, because this woman is sewing clothes. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. Man, nothing about herself. There is no vanity here. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband, look at this, is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with whining and weakness. No, look at that. She's clothed with what? Strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. That is like one of the best verses in there. She speaks with wisdom, faithful instructions on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. You say Bible study on women, and everybody thinks what passage? Proverbs 31. That is one of the most beautiful passages in all the Bible. You say, study on biblical manhood, and you think Proverbs chapter, I don't know, right? Like, women have, I mean, there's stuff about biblical manhood, obviously, in the Bible, but women have a special, poetic, beautiful passage closing the book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs, one of the most memorable in all of the Bible, and I don't think you can come up with a more dignified, esteemable position. That is an awesome character of an awesome servant of Christ, right?
Well, not only that, but the first spoken words in the Bible are celebratory words of women spoken by Adam. This is not bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh.
Yeah.
The first person to speak was Adam. The first words on his mouth, according to the Bible, are about a woman.
Yeah. That's a good point. So the thing is, when people say the Bible denigrates women, it's crazy. Look at that picture. That is cool. I want to talk about that. Okay. How do we identify this woman in this text? Let me give a thought, and then we'll start talking about it. This is God's choice servant. I like that phrase. This is God's ideal servant. You know how David was a man after his own heart? This is a woman after God's own heart, an ideal servant. This is the awesomeness of womanhood. And obviously, we said it's tragically missed and denigrated by the modern feminist movement. A couple more thoughts to overview, and then I'll want to hear your comments. She nurtures the home, obviously, and serves as caretaker. There is no question that that's what she's doing. The quote-unquote traditional, stereotypical, homemaker, stay-at-home wife, stay-at-home mom, 1950s apron, bacon cupcakes, is shown here, listen, as biblical. It is not the stereotype of a chauvinistic, Western, white, male-driven culture that has subjugated women. That's not where it came from. It's biblical, and it transcends cultures. It is good for the woman to be at home and to cook and to sew and to care for her family. That is like the worst thing you could say in this culture. And I hope that the women here are blessed hearing that, because that's a great thing. Because guys can't do that in any way like the women can. Starting with the birthing process. Stinks to be us. And I mean that sincerely. We always look at it like, oh man, guys got the cool jobs preaching. You bring forth the next generation of humanity in the likeness of the creator of the universe. That is awesome. The three greatest treasures in my life, beyond my wife, are my kids that came from Tammy's body. That is the coolest thing ever. What a privilege women have. So we got to think of it that way. The stay-at-home mom, cooking, cleaning, and sewing, how esteemed in the Lord, yet feminists pervert, reduce, and devalue biblical womanhood. So I want to ask you, Tam, you want to come down here and sit here, or are you good?
I'm just waiting to see if she...
Oh, okay, cool. What are some identifying characteristics that you see? Now, we could talk about just this for the next 3 hours, which we, by the way, if you're new, when I said we go long, it's... not 3 hours. Likely not. Maybe we will tonight. We probably won't. But we could talk about this forever, this passage. But let's just start throwing stuff out there. My brain works systematically, so I go chronologically through the verses. You can throw anything out you want, but using the verses that you see, what are some identifying characteristics here?
25.
Say again?
Verse 25.
What do you got?
She is clothed with strength and dignity and lasts without fear in the future.
What's that mean?
Just, you see women today, and it's just like, that just falls, I feel like.
They don't
I
have
need
that.
A man to be strong, and it's not overpowering, like we're so wonderful, but we are strong and have a lot to offer.
Yes, you went like right to the point of point one before I got there, so we'll touch on that real quick. There's this weird way of understanding that the woman has an independent femininity that is not, you just said it, Aaron, you're saying, it's not to subvert man's authority or come out from the authority of her husband. No, but it's definitely not that she's like weak and spineless and can only succeed with it. There's a strength to womanhood. So I didn't articulate it as well as you did, but I hope the recording picked it up. Yeah, we'll talk more about that. A couple comments on that verse, which is one of my favorite in the whole passage. There is strength and dignity in who she is. And there's physical strength. Did you notice it says in verse 17, she sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She's physically strong because she labors for the people around her. And even if you're never married, stay single, and you're still in a womanly role nurturing others, your arms are strong for the task of nurturing. That's so cool. She laughs at the days to come. There's confidence in the face of coming adversity. She's confident of supplying needs. She laughs at this. That is such strength. She's not intimidated. That's like, bring it on. I have the Lord and I'm his servant. That's like, sounds like something David would say, you know? Like when we think of that, that's a power of character. Exemplary character. Okay, other stuff, go ahead.
It is my favorite verse of this chapter because I feel like this is charming, deceitful, and beauty is passing, but then woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So it's just having that beautiful heart for the Lord.
Yeah, absolutely. This woman reveres God and knows him, listen, to be faithful in judgment. Did you catch what I said there? She fears God because she knows God is in control, and God is a God who exercises judgment, calls to account. And so she knows her role and wants to fill it in obedience to God. She reveres his name. She loves God personally and loves, listen, she loves to fear him. She loves to walk in the fear of the Lord and honor him in everything she does. That's great. That's a high view of God. She's a very high view of God. She doesn't wait for her husband to pray with her. She's praying on her knees and did not start that habit after she got married. I love you. I'm going to be tough the way I was tough with the guys. I didn't pull any punches with the guys. Don't think you're going to start becoming some Proverbs 31 praying woman if you are not already practicing a consistent daily life of hard prayer. Not 2 minutes in the morning, just before you leave your room. Not just 5 minutes. Serge, you're getting legalistic. Stop. Stop. 5 minutes? Really? That's all we have to give to the Lord in prayer? 5 or less minutes? Not just while you're distracted. There's a fly, sorry. On your commute to work. No, wrestling in prayer as a prayer warrior for whatever amount of time you've decided in your conscience to give to the Lord daily, setting aside that time of personal worship. That's a Proverbs 31 woman. And that's a woman who is advocating for her family before the throne of grace, much the same way Job was praying on behalf of his family, right? Remember Job? We talked about it last month. I'm going to pray and sacrifice just in case they sinned. That's a Proverbs 31 woman. Okay, keep going.
15.
What do you got?
She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household and a portion for her meat.
Yeah, man. What is her schedule like?
First thing she's doing is she's thinking of her family.
First thing she's doing.
Yep.
What time's she getting up? What do we call that when the sun comes up?
Sunrise.
Sunrise, dawn, right? So she's up before dawn. Now wait a second. Go to verse 18. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out what? And when it gets dark, it's dusk. So this woman's up before dawn and in bed after evening, after the sun sets. Wow. That's low sleep. That's a lot of work, right? What does that communicate?
Hard worker.
Hard worker, discipline.
Selflessness,
respect. And she's getting up effort to do that for her family. Great personal schedule. Early mornings, late nights, no sleeping in. Get used to getting up in the morning. I've talked to a couple of you about it recently just because I'm on summer break, so my schedule changes. I'm all excited. I get a little bit later mornings. But the best time, especially if you're a parent, it's before those little rascals get up, man. Once they get up, you're done. Learn to get up early. Spend time with the Lord. Nobody knows. And it's so good to have that kind of personal schedule. Okay, good. What else? Oh, no sleeping in. Did I say that? She doesn't sleep in. Go ahead. What verse?
She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of righteousness is on her tongue.
What's that mean?
Proverbs 1 says that the beginning of knowledge is like wisdom. So that's mean she's like wise if she hears a word.
So she knows her what?
Bible.
She knows her Bible. Right? She fears the Lord. This woman is wise. She knows her Bible. Listen, she's a teacher of the word. Well, you said women aren't teaching church. Listen, mm-hmm. I understand that. There's a specific ecclesiastical role to a man in the pulpit. Doesn't mean women don't teach. They're teaching. They're breathing out scripture. This woman knows her Bible. And listen, she rebukes people with scripture. Her children and others, she disciples, trains, exhorts, loves, encourages. She knows her Bible. She'll take you to scripture. That is so good. You got to be a man like that, man. You got to be a woman like that, ladies. I love that. That's one of my favorite verses in there, too. What else?
23.
Oh, one last comment before we say that. Sorry. If she, hold that thought, Jesse. If she knows her Bible, what's she doing? Reading, right? Reading her Bible. I always talk about, like, with guys, you know, encourage them, lead, start up conversations about the scriptures and probe deep conversations and lead. Ladies, do the same thing. Bring up Bible. Exhort one another with scripture. Talk about deep issues. Understand your theology. Be a Calvinist. I know that's offensive to say. Understand why we are elected by sovereign grace according to the scriptures, Romans 9, Ephesians 1, John chapter 6. I got it in there for you. There, Jake. But know your doctrine. What's going on in the end times? I don't know. My husband will tell me. You better figure it out. What if he's a knucklehead? Well, you shouldn't have married him in the first place. But know your stuff. Okay, go ahead, Jesse.
23, when her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land.
Love that, man. What does that mean?
She makes her husband shine.
Oh, makes him shine.
She doesn't pick a knucklehead.
She does not pick a knucklehead. But she almost could and make him look good. don't do that, girls. No, I love that, man. The dude is doing nothing. He's just sitting there, and his wife is so good that people are like, man, you're a good guy because your wife is so good. And I experience it in my own life. I could not do any of the ministry I do without my wife. She's doing all the ministry with me. You know, essentially, even like as the worship leader in my church, all this, she's doing it with me because I can't manage all this. What's it say in, you know, if I'm out of my seat, it's exciting, right? 27. Look at 27. She watches over the affairs of her household, does not eat the bread of idleness. She runs the place. Now, I know, hold on a second. The man is the leader. Yes, he is the teacher, leader, pastor of the house, so to speak. But a good pastor has got his right-hand man, in this case woman, the supervisor, so to speak, and the wife says, don't you even think about looking back, you crazy guy. Go to work. I got this taken care of. Bills are paid. Kids are covered. Clothes is here. Food's on the table. You get back, warm house. I got it all taken care of. And that's why you go evangelize lost. You go preach that sermon. You go make disciples. You go. You see how it works as a team? A guy can't do anything without her if they're in a marriage relationship. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it's like verse 11 and 12. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life.
Yeah.
So he can trust that she's going to be taking care of all those things behind the scenes.
Yeah.
While he's out doing his thing.
And I'm telling you from experience, the husband cannot do. People come up to me in church like, oh, you know, you do a lot. And I'm like, thanks. It looks like that because I'm like disorganized and I look busy. I'm not. But what I often say is I can't. It's half of all of it. 100% of it, I feel like saying, is my wife because she's working, co-laboring with me. And so it's not like, well, the woman can never go out of the house and do ministry. No, that's not what I'm saying. She does too. And there's plenty of times she does. But the main task, see what I'm saying? The main task, the husband's the provider and the woman is the nurturer. He goes out and hunts for the kingdom and for God's glory. And she maintains the citadel. You know, she maintains the fort, home base. All right. And that's so equally as important. Anyway, we can keep going. What else?
13, 14, and kind of 16. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands, so she's not afraid to work with her hands. She's like a merchant ship, so she goes far for her food. She brings her food from afar. In 16, she considers a field and buys it from her profits. She plants a vineyard. So it's a woman who's not so concerned on how far she has to go to find and forage for the material to make the clothing, to find the food, and she knows how to actually, how not to get ripped off. And she knows how to use her money wisely, and she can look at the land and be like, this is worth this. Yeah, it's definitely worth this amount of money, and I will buy it. And my husband is probably going to be very proud because I know how to do this, and we will be able to work this greatly with what we have. And this seems within our budget, and oh, you're trying to rip me off with, nah, that's not, and she doesn't go to her husband and be like, well, is this a good price for this and a good price for that? It's a self-sufficient woman who knows
right.
what everything's worth, and she's not afraid to be like, well, I can go this farther to get this food or this.
She's decisive, she's competent, she's industrious. There's so many verses about that wraps all together. McCarthy used a great word that I thought was a great word. She's entrepreneurial. Okay, I don't see anything in here in this passage that's degrading. I don't. I see a woman who knows how to buy things, how to deal with merchants. She's clothing the merchants. Like the guys on Wall Street that are pulling a fast one over on everybody. She's the one selling to them. You know what I'm saying? Where is that verse?
Verse 24.
Thank you. She supplies the merchants with sashes. She is getting the job done. You know, I say it all the time to my students at school. When they come up and start whining to me about something, about rehearsal or something that's hard, I'm like, just get the job done, man. Get out of here. Go practice. Get the job done. See you tomorrow at rehearsal. I'm a music teacher. So this woman is getting the job done in every facet. It's so wonderful and inspiring to see. I'm going to expedite things by looking over. She is not a pushover. I got to say that. She considers the field. We already said her arms are strong. She's strong physically and mentally. And please listen. Again, I told you it might prick a little bit. I don't. From this text, she is strong physically, mentally. She's strong emotionally. Okay? Quote, unquote, I'm emotional is not an excuse for this lady. I don't see that in the text, guys. Well, I'm just having an emotional day. Well, stop and repent. Because being out of control and intemperate is not a fruit of the Spirit, male or female. If we have to repent from our lust, right? Seriously, we have to repent from our lust. Y'all got to repent from your emotional extremes, because any heavy pendulum swing in the fleshly gender characteristics is sin. It was a very wordy way to say sin. If you're excessively whatever in your manhood or excessively whatever in your woman, it's sin. You have to be tempered. This woman is steady, man, straight as an arrow. The world teaches you that women are supposed to be emotional wrecks and weak. This lady's not. She laughs at the future. Love that. There's nothing emotional there. That is so good. How about this? Look at the first in the beginning. A wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. What's it start with? Her character. This woman has a strong character of righteousness. There is no time, listen, for soap operas and gossip magazines. I get so close to saying stuff. Then I'm like, don't say that, and then I'll say it. But like, let me just, for instance, I don't read it. I don't know. People magazine, isn't that like the leading gossip magazine? Like, what is that? In a Christian house, I have People. You're a legalist. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be a legalist. I don't know if you have People magazine, and I haven't really read it. So whatever's in there. But I'm just trying to think of the stereotypical gossip mag. She has no time to read that. She's up early being productive, reading her Bible and rebuking people and making things and buying property, not reading the latest gossip magazine. That stuff doesn't belong in a Christian woman's house or life. Get rid of it. She's not watching the next garbage reality TV show and laughing at it. You know, that's inspiring to me. I love that. And that's a woman that can be led well, because her desire is not just to follow her husband's holiness. Her desire is to be holy for Christ. And then she'll come right under the authority of a man who wants the same thing. That's so cool. Good.
I don't know if anyone said this yet, but 28:29. And you were saying how this is like a poem, so I almost think about how like a man is saying this to his wife.
Yeah.
Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. So it's like a man saying to his wife, like, you've done so, like, he's thanking her, like, I thank you for being such a great mother here at home and holding things down here at the fort. And the kids even get up and they praise her, and I thank you for doing what you're doing, and no woman can earn
it. Yeah, it's great. The attitude of the husband is such one of respect and esteem. And it's not because it's a trophy wife that he's sporting around in his arm. That's so degrading. It's because he's like, man, you got better character than me. Thanks for the example. Let me follow suit. You're awesome. I see Christ in you. That's cool.